In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from tonight's Holy Gospel found in St. Matthew chapter 1. But as he, Joseph, considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is God's word. Like everyone, I have temptations that I have to avoid. And one of the temptations at Christmas time is to get really negative and nose out of joint, bent out of shape, because so many people screw around with Christmas. I don't think just pastors feel that way. I bet a lot of you as Christians feel that way. There is so much other stuff that we make Christmas about, and that can be frustrating. But I don't think we should get frustrated, because you know why? People get that Christmas is a big deal. They get that this day is huge. It's the biggest celebration of any kind that happens throughout the world. And that is pretty amazing that Christianity has had the impact that Christmas is literally celebrated in every corner of the globe. They make a big deal about it. In Latin America, you know what? They begin celebrating Christmas beginning of December. And you know what? When all y'all are ready to yank your trees down on Thursday, they're celebrating Christmas all the way into mid-January, late January even. And they're roasting pigs and eating together with families. They're doing a lot of drinking. It's a big deal. You go to Europe and you go to the various cities around Europe. You see the Christmas markets where you have vendors hawking their wares, people going around buying things. Sure, it's commercial, it's material, but it's a big deal. You go to Asia, and this was really neat to find out. I mean, we don't think of Asia as a real hotbed of Christianity. In fact, in a lot of places in Asia, Christianity is illegal. But you know what? If you go to the big cities in China and India and Japan, you know what you will find in their shopping malls this time of year? Christmas lights, Christmas trees, Santa asking the kids what they want for Christmas. It's a big deal even there. In Africa, which is probably, believe it or not, the most Christian place on earth now, you go to, say, for example, Eastern Africa, a family will get a young goat and they'll roast it for Christmas and share it with their family and bring together maybe some people from the community. It's a big deal no matter where you go. And that, dear friends in Christ, is good. That people make a big deal about Christmas. They just miss the point. And that, of course, is the reason we get so defensive. They miss the point that the reason Christmas is indeed such a big deal is because of the small way that God has dealt with his children. It is a big deal that our Savior was born in Bethlehem. But how did that Savior come to us? He came in the smallest of ways. As a baby, a newborn whom Scripture tells us was Emmanuel, God with us. There's nothing bigger than God. And yet God chose to come to us in an exceedingly, extraordinarily small way. A child. A baby. A baby that in every regard was the same as you when you were a baby. A baby carried in his mother's womb. A baby that squealed and squirmed when he was born into the world. A baby that needed clean diapers. A baby that needed to be fed by its mother. In every way, God became a baby. What was big, what remains and continues to be big, became as small as it gets. And so the angel told Joseph that he should not be afraid to take Mary as his wife, that he should take this child, raise him as his own, and give him the name. And he tells Joseph this because as the father, or the one who would be perceived as Jesus' father, the one who would be tasked with raising the Son of God, he gives him the name Jesus. The name Jesus, the angel tells us, means he will save us from our sins. The name Jesus is the same as the Hebrew name Joshua. You might know the name Joshua from the Old Testament. Same person, same name. Not same person. Same name. Or in Aramaic, as Jesus would have been called in his day, Yeshua. The same name, and they all mean Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus. It means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. How did God choose to accomplish salvation? In a baby. Think about how astounding that is. A baby. Where God is with us, Emmanuel. You know, we all tend to think of our kids when they're born, when they're babies, as the greatest thing in the world. They're going to be, the whole world's before them, right? We think our kids could cure cancer, play in the NFL, write a classical piece of music, could bring about world peace. We don't know what the future holds for our children. And yet, when you break it down, a baby is a baby that's pretty helpless and totally dependent on everyone else to care for it, protect it. It's small, pretty much as small as it gets. In fact, a baby starts out as a single cell. And that is where God came to us to save us. As small as a cell, as small as a baby, to save you from your sins. Sin is a big problem. I mean, bigger than we can begin to comprehend. And let's correct our notions that sins are just a bunch of wrong actions when we make bad choices instead of making good choices. No, you see, it's much, much worse than that. Sin is the condition we have inherited from our own parents, that our parents inherited from their parents, that we've all inherited from Adam and Eve. That we are corrupt, we are broken, we are diseased with sin. And it is the source of every bit of brokenness that we experience in the world right now. And I'm not just talking about the brokenness you see on the evening news when politicians are fighting with one another and red states don't like blue states and things like that. I'm not talking about the division that exists when one country fights another country in a war. It's all that too. I'm talking about that fight you had at home before you came to church tonight. Or your kids arguing with each other nonstop, bickering and bickering and bickering. They just won't stop. I'm talking about that medical problem that you're not sure how you're going to deal with. I'm talking about those bills that never ever seem to get paid and you don't know how you're going to fix that problem. I'm talking about the anger you carry, the guilt, the shame over whatever. It's big, and all of it is sin. God provides the answer to the big problem of sin in the smallness of a baby. Because that baby, of course, who is God with us, has come to live, to grow, to suffer, and die for you. That's who Jesus is. That's literally what he was meant to do, to save you from sin, to be your salvation. It's quite literally what his name means. You know, back in the Old Testament character Joshua, he, along with Moses, led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And then when Moses died on the threshold of the promised land, Joshua assumed leadership. And he was the one that led the people across the Jordan River and into that land of promise, the land God said would be flowing with milk and honey. And it's fitting that our Lord Jesus would have the same name. The Lord is salvation. Because similarly, he has led you out of slavery. Because that's the reality of it. You're not just a sinner because you make bad choices every now and then. You're a sinner because you're a slave. Because you, and there's no way you can break those bonds, you can loosen those chains. It's impossible to do. Unless it is done by the one born this night in Bethlehem, Christ our Lord. You know, one of the enduring images of Christmas is the picture of Santa visiting the homes of families and coming down the chimney. And what does he always have with him? Giant sack filled with gifts. Maybe you've come here tonight carrying a sack of your own, but instead of it being filled with electronics and toys and gift cards and whatever presents you might be giving out tonight and tomorrow, maybe what you're carrying with you is embarrassment or shame or guilt or brokenness. Whatever it is, Jesus has come to save you from it. He has come so that you can lay it at the foot of his cross and know that when he says those words that he said on Good Friday, when he says, "It is finished," and he bows his head and dies, he's done it for you. And when he rises again on Easter morning and lives in glory forever, he lives for you so that you might live. You will call his name Jesus, the angel said, because he will save his people from their sins. That is what the child has come to do. And thanks be to God, that's what the child has done for you this very night. His blood covers all of your sin. And the salvation that he offers is the gift he gives to you freely, without cost, without any payment you have to make without your deserving it freely, a gift open for you in his word. The Lord is salvation. The Lord is your salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.